Let's talk about good effing sex. You know what that is to me? That is when my partner and me come at the same time. That really is the top of the mountain for me. And I think that's because it rarely happens. And that's because there's an orgasm gap. Women take a little bit longer to come than guys. It's just a fact. But I have a solution for you, and that is Promescence Delay Spray. Their delay spray is not just for guys with PE, okay? It is for any guy who wants to last longer in bed without having to worry about lasting longer in bed. And that's because it's not going to numb you out, and it's not going to transfer to your partner. And for your partner, they have a whole line of women's products. I recommend their warming gel. They also have lube and condoms, and they sell supplements called Vitaflux that are going to make you and your partner hornier. I had a guest on recently who talked about Vitaflux and how her guy was taking it and he got all horned up, okay? So listen, not only does her guy and I recommend Promescent, over 2,000 medical professionals recommend Promescent too. So go get yourself some. And for listeners of this show, you're going to get 15% off your whole order. So order up, okay, when you do place your order, because you're going to get 15% off anything. All you got to do is go to promescent.com/strictlyanon to get 15% off your whole order. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description, click on the link, and 15% is going to be automatically applied at checkout.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous Podcast yet on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I don't know why I always sing that. If you haven't followed me on the podcast app that you're listening to me on, make sure to follow me. And if you can, give me a review or give me 5 stars on the app that you're on. Do it. That kind of shit really helps the show. What's really exciting now that I love is that Spotify has polls that I get to create for every episode, and they have questions that I could put out there and people get to comment on the episodes. I love interacting with my listeners about what I'm talking about on the episode. So make sure to comment. I'm trying to figure out a way that I could comment back to everybody. They don't sort of make it like a back and forth kind of a thing, but I'm trying to figure that out. But I get so excited when I get a comment. If you leave a rude comment about me or my guests, of course I'm not going to air it, okay? I get the option to post it or not. And I also can't post dirty ones that are flagged by Spotify. So if you leave a comment, make sure to keep it clean and keep it nice, okay? If you think I interrupt too much, move it along. Sorry, it's my show. I interrupt way less now than I used to in the past. But anyway, if you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because I change everybody's voices. I change everybody's names. If you have a naughty, interesting story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, I'd love to also have you on my show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a naughty confession that you want to be aired on an episode, I now do naughty confession episodes. I do one a week. You could call my confessions hotline. You could call that number 24/7, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. I think you get 4 minutes to leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. I change the voices on them. I edit them together. The one thing I need to tell you is please do not be driving when you call. If you're driving, pull over, park, and leave your message. And if you can, make sure to hold the phone up to your ear. That is the best way to ensure that you're going to have good sound on your confession and I'll be able to use it. So many confessions come in and I can barely understand what the person's saying. So you could call that number anytime you want. All of those anonymous confessions, even if they're not aired on an episode or aired on my Patreon. And my Patreon is a really fun community. I have over 2,000 people on there. If you join for only $5 a month, you get all of my episodes early and ad-free. I do questions and answers and polls and stuff over there as well. I post all the anonymous confessions there. And I also post all the anonymous sexy pics of all of my guests, including today's guest, okay, all over there. And you also get access to my private Discord where people are allowed to post whatever they want. I don't get involved in the X-rated stuff, but people want to post stuff like that and they get to over on my Discord. So to get access for my Discord and get all the other stuff that I talked about, you got to join my Patreons, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. It's literally just $5 a month. And I feel like you get a lot for that. Most people charge like $12, $20 for their Patreon. They're barely giving anything. I'm giving out so much and it's $5, you know. And you are also supporting the show, which is great. So all of the links and the emails and the numbers and the websites and all that shit I just talked about are in the description. So you don't have to worry about writing it down. Today I have on Sean. Now remember Samantha? People loved her episode. Now listen, if you passed up that episode and you haven't listened to Samantha's episode, it was episode 774, Samantha and her alpha husband, love pegging, guy and guy action, MMF threesomes and more. If you haven't listened to Samantha's episode yet, go listen to it. People wrote in, people commented like, oh my God, favorite guest ever. One of the best episodes you ever did. People loved Samantha. Samantha had talked all about her relationship with her husband and what they do together. And so I decided to get her husband on. That's why you're going to hear their story from the husband's perspective. I tape couples a lot. And it's always interesting to get the same story from the other person's perspective. Trust me, it's not like the same old. You're hearing it from his side. You got Samantha's view of their situation, which is really great. Okay. And now you're going to hear his. He is one of those guys that would say, I'm not into guys, but he hooks up with guys, okay? And you're going to hear all about that. And he talks about how it's even confusing to him, but it's what he knows about himself. He's a very alpha guy in real life, but he is very submissive when it comes to hooking up with dudes and doing all the stuff that they did. And this is not a guy that did any of this shit before. This all came up when they opened up their marriage, and he talks about all of it. They're very into chastity and denial. He talks about how that was just like an impulse buy at a sex store, and when he put that shit on, it completely changed him. That's what's so interesting, I think, about his story and his side of things, is because he's really a guy that's here to show you, or here to say that you kind of never know what you're into unless you try it, because this is a guy that wasn't into any of this shit. The chastity thing led to so many other things. They do pegging. They have hooked up and had hot wife experiences. He talks about seeing his wife with a guy for the first time. He talks about how she brought him panties home one day and he threw them on and now he wears them, and he talks about why and how and what, how it makes him feel and all that kind of good stuff. So if you heard Samantha's episode and loved it like everybody else did, you're going to love Sean's as well. If you haven't, listen to Sean's episode and then go listen to Samantha's, because her episode is great. And then make sure to go over to my Patreon, because their picks do not disappoint. When I say, and when Samantha said, oh, my guy is alpha, like I'm into alpha guys, he's fucking alpha. I have alpha pics of him on my Patreon. And then Samantha went onto my Discord and posted videos. People are saying she posted videos and naughtier pics of them. So they're all over on my Patreon in all their glory on my Discord. So make sure to sign up for that after you listen to this episode. You're going to love it. So I'm going to be right back on with Sean.
Hi,
Sean. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
Good, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. Listen, your wife was a big effing hit, okay? You are Samantha, quote unquote, fake name Samantha's husband. Samantha came on. I just aired her episode. And let me tell you, I knew people were going to be obsessed with her because I was obsessed with her because she's just very unique in that she's so super open and you guys have a really interesting story. She told it from her perspective. Now you're going to tell it from yours. People did want to hear your side of things, you know. People want to listen to Samantha's episode if they haven't listened to it yet. I will put the number in the description. People like literally said like that was like my favorite episode, and I've been doing my show for 10 years. It's very rare that I find something that's very unique. I felt like your story was very unique and she was very unique. So
yes, she is.
Yeah, she's cool. She's so yep. fucking cool because like you guys are a couple that have been married for a long time. Vanilla before, like you weren't doing anything really that off the charts before, but eventually, and you have to remind me because I tape a lot of people, you guys opened up your relationship and you're doing guys and she's fucking into it. And you're like her little, I don't know, submissive. You're into sissy stuff and you're very alpha. Okay, let me just tell you, she has posted pics of you in all your glory over on my Discord. I have some pics as well, a little bit more R-rated pics. But if you want to see everything, you can go on my Discord. But she posted pics of you guys over on my Patreon. You're totally not the type of guy that people think fucks guys or is a sissy boy, right? Like, you're really alpha. Your body looks like you're fucking alpha. Like, you're built, like, you know, tenfold. People could see your stuff over there. So let's go back again to the beginning of the story with you guys. Now, before you started copping to all this different stuff that you guys were into and you were going to try, were you guys like totally vanilla before? Remind me.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we never really got into anything outrageous. It was just regular vanilla sex, and it was always good. I always joke that's kind of how I landed her. At the time, I'm not happy to say this, but I was addicted to opioids, which kind of cuts down on your ability to orgasm.
Oh,
so I could
really?
For hours. The first couple of times we slept together, it was a marathon, and still never did. But it was, I always joke that's how I landed her. So.
Oh my god, I never knew that. That's another amazing side effect. No wonder why people get fucking addicted to it. You could put on the show. I call that the show when a guy wants to fuck you for 5 hours. I can't stand the show, but I know a lot of guys that want to do the show. They're very into pleasing their women when they want you to come 5 times. It's a lot of pressure.
Well, I didn't know at the time that was a side effect because, you know, just met.
Interesting. Can I just ask you real quick, like, how did you kick the habit? Because there's no way you're still doing opioids this many years later and survived, right?
Yeah, it was literally just me realizing that I was abusing them, and it was just, it was a cold turkey. I had no problem. Once I realized, hey, wait a minute, this is
fucked up.
This is more than I've been prescribed. So it was just throw them down and forget about them. And it worked.
Yeah, that's good. So, but guys are good for you now, and you're totally into being with them. So let's get to that place, because you're this guy that, I don't know, did you always consider yourself straight? Were you always secretly into dudes on the side but never said anything? How did that come up for you?
So I don't know that I was ever, I'm still not into guys as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I'm not attracted to them physically. and it's one of those things I'm not too proud to say. If I see a man who is attractive, I obviously will say, hey, that's a good looking guy, you know, but I don't feel like I'm not attracted to him. I don't want to go meet him.
You don't want to make out with him. And
yeah, but I'm not overly masculine. I can't recognize when someone takes care of themselves.
Yeah, cool. Okay. But then it eventually does come up, though, because we know from Samantha's episode, and I'll tell people even if they haven't heard it, you do fuck around with guys now, and you guys are doing all that kind of stuff. So let's get to the point where somebody, I forget who, like puts something on the table that kind of changes the game, because eventually you guys started to talk about different things, right? That led you to opening up your marriage. What was that catalyst that changed things up?
So it's hard to say because it's been so long. We've kind of gone down this road for probably better 10 years. But I would say pegging probably started it as far as, you know, wanting to try something different. And, of course, chastity cage, that changed everything because that really brings out a completely different side of myself. The denial part of it makes me feel completely different. And even the physical act of being with a man is not, I don't know how to explain it. So it's not physically, it's kind of uncomfortable at times. This, the mental side of knowing that that's what's happening is really kind of what turned the table for me.
Now listen up, everyone. I know why you're here. It's because you love listening to hot stories. Well, I know where you could find a ton more hot stories, and that is on the Dipsy Stories app. Dipsy is full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories. No matter what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy's got something for you. Whether you're into straight stories, queer stories, threesomes, or moresome stories, you're going to find it on Dipsy. They also have sleep stories, wellness sessions, and written stories. And they also have my favorite feature, which is the jump to the action button. So if you want to get right to it because you're super horny, you're just going to press a button and it's going to take you right to where the action starts. So what are you waiting for? Go get Dipsy now. And for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/strictlyanon. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/strictlyanon, dipsystories.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description and click on the link. Good news, Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. And that's what you like, though.
Yeah. That was my whole shtick. It's not that I'm physically, it's not the greatest, but it is mentally, it is mind blowing.
Yeah. But let's start with the pegging. I'm assuming you guys were like playing with toys. I'm always talking to guys and saying, "Hey, like, check out your asshole. There's a lot of nerve endings in there. You probably love a little anal action." There's so much stigma surrounding that for guys that so many guys don't try stuff, anything. God forbid you try to put your finger up a guy's ass. He's like, "Oh my God, I'm not gay." It's so ridiculous. How did you guys, like, how did the anal play start between you two?
I think it started with us having toys, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think it came to its full conclusion there whenever it was the night of drinking. Basically, let's give it a shot and see. I did it to her so she could do it to me. And I still, to this day, I'm nervous about anal with her, penetrating her anally. I'm scared I'm going to hurt her, you know, so I actually shy away from that. And to be honest with you, I like the other better anyways. So
yeah, you like to get fucked in the ass.
Yeah. I would rather me get fucked in the ass than to do that to her.
Yeah.
I feel, even though I know it's not, it's a regular sexual act, it feels degrading at some point.
That's interesting that you see that way for her.
Yeah. So I don't mind being degraded.
No, that's what I was just going to say. If you see it a little bit as a degrading thing, is that a little part of what gets you off when it's being done to you? Because some people like to be degraded. That could be like a kink.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's absolutely part of it. And I would never want to do that to her. I don't ever want her to feel that way. It's my kink. It's not her kink.
You know? Yeah. And let me just tell you, in this situation, they got to listen to Samantha's episode. Samantha is the dom and you are the sub. Okay. Like your guy's dynamic is super interesting. So I would assume even as time goes on and you guys really develop those roles and it's very clear that's who you guys are when you guys are doing these kinds of things, that it would make sense that you would rather be getting fucked than doing the fucking because you're the submissive. So the first time she pegged you, were there any questions from her like, oh my God, like, why do you want a dick in your ass or anything like that? Or was she just like totally fine with it?
Oh, she was completely okay with it. She had no problem with it. It was almost like a little payback.
Seriously?
Yeah, she was completely okay with it. At no point did she have any reservations, as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know, we were still fairly early on into it, so I don't know if maybe she thought that maybe this is a little weird, but she did not let on that it was, if that crossed her mind at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of times the biggest fear for guys who might be open to it, maybe because they've played alone and realized that it does feel great to have something inside there, they're afraid to bring it up because I think a lot of times, and Samantha just isn't like the average person, that the average woman might be like, why the fuck do you want a dick in your ass? Going to be the first question. Like, what does that mean? And you got to really talk it out and with your girl. And I think that's why a lot of guys don't ever want to put it on the table. And a lot of guys still keep it under wraps. But so you guys start pegging and you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
You were into it.
Yeah. And then came chastity, and it started off with just it was stopped by the toy store and yeah. We picked up a little cage, a little plastic thing, and I didn't really know what to expect with it. I tried it on and it changed everything. It changed the way I felt about things, just knowing that you could not get an erection. Mm-hmm. And that part of you was essentially void at that time. And then I think that's when the more submissive side came out, when I started realizing those feelings and then she was more than happy to explore those with me.
And so the feeling of being denied and that part of you being turned off and you can't use it, that you realized that was like a turn on to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were surprised. Yeah. I mean, you had no idea going in that you were going to feel that way, right?
I had no clue. And even afterwards, it was a lot of Googling, you know, the psychology of why, which there are no good answers on Google.
I was just going to ask you. Yeah. Can you explain it? Can you put it into words?
I can't. I don't completely understand it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The denial part just makes me want sex more and not just conventional sex, just sex with my wife. It makes me want that more.
Yeah.
And the more that I'm denied, the more I want it, the more I want it, the more I'm denied. It's kind of like a snowballing effect where the longer you go without it, the more you enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm into tease and denial. And I didn't realize that until some guy on my show talked about it. And I was like, oh, I've played those games with people before. And there is something about denying yourself. If you deny it when you get it, it's 10 times better than if you just got it the first time you asked for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is. I think a lot of people don't know about tease and denial. And if they tried it, they'd realize how hot it is.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, it was wanting something that I couldn't have.
Yeah.
And that made a big difference for me as well, as wanting to do something, knowing I couldn't, really just amplified everything and maybe more submissive. And then came along, obviously, gratifying others and then still denying myself.
Yeah. You're like, you've been in a cage for 3 weeks now. Have you been let out yet?
I have this weekend.
Oh, you just the one that just passed, you were let out, or you're going to be let out this weekend?
Yep. Just we got to have some sex last night and it was mind blowing.
Really?
Yep. I have a feeling I'm headed back to the cage, but at the same time, I did get an out and it was incredible.
Yeah. So let's get to the point where now you're playing chastity and you're totally into it. It's kind of changed your mind about things. You starting to feel submissive, right? How did it come to play that it would be men?
It's probably just a lot of porn. <That's>
honest.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
That's honest.
Kind of brought the whole idea up, and then it just kind of sparked something that I said, well, be willing to try it. Let's see what it does. And we tried it once, and I really enjoyed it. And then it was just, it went from there. And then it was, let's get a little bit more with it. And we've got someone who regularly comes by, and he's a great person, very respectful, and it's worked out.
Yeah, but let's go back to that first time. What were you thinking going in? Did you say, I just want to get blown or just blow a guy? What was that first experience and what went down?
Yeah, so the first time was almost more, I guess, what you'd call a hot wifing experience, where we both kind of shared my wife. And of course, he blew me for a while, I blew him. But yeah, that was the tipping point of me realizing that I didn't want any kind of reciprocation as far as that goes. I did not enjoy getting a blowjob from another guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it at all. As a matter of fact, he's the only one who came. My wife and him both came, and me, I turned off at that point.
Wow.
I don't know about this. It didn't feel good to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I guess that's my role in this, is to be the one doing and not the one being done too.
Yeah, I've talked about that a lot on my show, because so many guys that are into guys in the way that you are, in that they maybe once in a blue moon, they like to suck a dick if the wind blows a certain way, but it's not like they dig guys. All those guys, they just want to blow guys. They don't want the guy to touch them, do anything to them. Look, you're the same like a lot of guys. All the guys that are into blowing guys, they don't want the guy to blow them.
Yeah. And we found there's not a whole lot, and I believe it is the whole straight versus gay thing. And that.
Yeah.
If you're letting someone do something to you, you feel gay, I guess, is kind of the way it always kind of reflected to me. But if you're the one having it done to you, then maybe it's not gay. But at the same time, if you're looking at it that way, it's all gay. If you're looking at it like
it's not even gay, but what's wrong with gay? That's what I always go to the end.
Yeah.
Like why is that such a bad fucking thing? It's so rude.
It makes no sense, but I think that's the reason behind it. But I don't, like I said, I don't have anything to back that up. That's just kind of
I think the real gay guys should, you know, get in on the action, because there's so many quote unquote straight guys that just want to blow guys who aren't gay. So if it's not my straight friends that should go and get those blowjobs, it's gay men. Somebody should be, you know, cashing in on all these straight guys that want to blow guys.
Yeah. And that's basically the luck we've had is gay men.
Mm-hmm.
As far as finding people who are comfortable with that situation.
Yeah. So, but that first guy, when you went in, he was a bi guy. He was into women. He was into men. And you knew going in that it was like everything on the table. How did you feel seeing your wife with another guy? Was that a turn on to you? You loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And it wasn't necessarily just seeing it happen. It was knowing that she was enjoying the pleasure from it. That was important for me. And they didn't have vaginal sex. She just, you know. She gave him a blowjob, but at the same time, that didn't bother me at all. And that was kind of when I realized that I wouldn't have a problem with her having sex with another guy, but at the same time, I never wanted to push that at all, ever. Because I don't know if she's comfortable with it.
Yeah, but did you talk about it after? You went into that experience knowing that that wasn't on the table, or she wasn't going to do it?
Yeah, no, we didn't really talk about that much. As a matter of fact, it was several years after that happened that she actually did have sex with another man. And at the same time, there was a lot of conversation leading up to that, because you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Exactly.
And at the same time, I didn't really know. I thought I wanted to see this. I had no clue if I was going to enjoy it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I committed to doing it. There was no way I could hold it against her. Because I told her I'm good with it. And after it happened, I really enjoyed it.
You did?
Yeah. And if I didn't enjoy it, she would have never known. I would have just told her, yeah, maybe that's not our thing. But I would have never, you know, you can't be jealous for something you initiate.
No, I know. I think it's like really hard going into situations when you've never done something before. You don't know how you're going to feel. And I think what's most important is that you have a good enough relationship with your partner that if you did feel fucked up about it, you could talk to them and you could both get over it, but it doesn't ruin the relationship. That's the biggest fear. I know that I talked to a lot of hot wives, and a lot of times before they did anything, that was their biggest fear. Will he think of me different? Like you said, you once you open up Pandora's box, you can't close it again. But you guys were with each other for long enough to know that even if that happened, you guys would be okay.
Oh yeah, and like I said, just suck it up, buttercup, and that's just the way it was. And fortunately for both of us, I think we both really enjoyed it, and we both kind of embraced that. We communicate. I honestly don't communicate as well as I probably should, but I've never been a talker, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we do enough communication to where we know if we're comfortable with something, and that was important. She was good with it, and she interrogated me before we did it, making sure I was good with it. I was, as far as I could tell, I was great with it, and it worked out.
Yeah, and you enjoyed it. Were you caged during that experience?
Yes. Yeah.
So
and that was the other thing too. Mm-hmm. For me to play uncaged, I've never enjoyed that at all.
Interesting. You like being caged. You prefer to be caged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it goes back to the fact that most of the guys that we've messed around with are either bi or gay, and they're eventually they're going to want to mess with me, and I don't want that. So I stay caged. That takes that off the table.
Oh, so there's never, you don't have to worry about that. That boundary is in place.
Yeah, it's completely off the table. I don't have to think about it. It's not in the back of my head the whole time.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And you probably didn't consciously do that, but that's a part of it, right? Like
probably, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I do know that Samantha picks your dudes, right? Like going into all these experiences, including the first one, was it always Samantha picking the guys? And
it was. Yeah. Yes. She's always been the one to find the people. And for me, that's more respect for her. I don't want to bring someone in that she's not vetted first. So it's easier for her to vet them and make sure she's good with it before we initiate anything.
Mm-hmm. And you've always been into her guys that she's picked for you? You're not as picky as her? I think that's what I don't think guys are as picky as women.
Yeah, so she's picked a couple that weren't great winners.
Uh-huh.
But it went on, and I did my duty, and
oh my god, hilarious.
Not necessarily enjoyed it every time, but she's gotten much better.
She knows your taste now?
Yeah, she's gotten a lot pickier.
Which you like. I felt like she made it seem like you weren't that picky.
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't super picky. A lot of times when we would fool around, it was a weekend. When we didn't really know how to find the right people or where to look for the right people. And so it was just, you got one day, basically. So you try to find someone, and this is just who you end up with. And that's the luck of the draw kind of thing. And now we've decided, we'll take our time and make sure it's the right person. And so far it's worked out.
Do you have any preference, though? Do you like a guy with a bigger dick, a smaller dick, a thicker dick? Do you give a shit about that at all?
Not really. As long as it's not a super tiny.
Right.
That's kind of a waste of time. But, not to disparage anybody, but yeah, we've had a couple that were, I would say, below average.
Right.
Well below average.
Yeah, well, it's not like the majority of guys have huge cocks, right? I mean, it's like the majority are average. Most guys are average.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just the way that it is. Let me ask you this. Like, the first time you did blow a guy and hook up with a guy, did you have any kind of weird feelings about it? Did it make you question your sexuality? Or by that time, were you just like super clear about what this was about and who you were?
Yeah, so I never questioned my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've always known I just wasn't attracted to them.
Yeah.
And I always think of that. Could I walk up to a man and kiss him? There's just no way.
Right.
There's no way I could kiss another man because I just don't find that attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But I did question the morality of it. Is it right to do this? So that's always, It's kind of like I explained to my wife. It's like eating a candy bar, you know. It's, yeah, and you get done eating and you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have eaten that, but I'm going to eat another one, you know. Just kind of that whole,
oh my God, that whole
questioning.
Feeling?
That, yeah. Yeah, it's that whole questioning the situation. Should I have done that? Mm-hmm. The safety risk is always part of it. So we're always trying to be really safe. And how safe can you be? The safest you can be is in, obviously, a monogamous relationship with one partner. And that's, there's no STDs to be spread in that relationship. But when you start introducing other people, God forbid I catch something and I give it to her, that would break my heart.
Yeah.
Safety is a big thing.
Let me ask you this, though, because there is something called post-nut clarity, and that definitely exists. Because I always equate being horny like being drunk. And then the minute you come, you're like back to reality. You're not drunk anymore. You're like, oh. So, but I have to assume because you're not having orgasms, like you don't get that post-nut clarity, really, because you're being denied in all of your experiences, correct? Like you're never coming when you're there.
Yeah, it just keeps building.
Yeah, I used to really not understand these guys that would go to dominatrix and I'd be like, oh, and did you come? And they'd be like, no, I didn't come. And I'd be like, why the fuck didn't you come? I don't understand it. But then I started to realize, oh, never coming and going home. It's just taking that feeling of where you're at right before you come and just extending it. And do you really want post-nut clarity in a fucking dungeon? You know what I mean? And like walking out of there? No, you'd rather do that in your own house. It starts
That's
to
right.
make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it keeps the side of you that any guy who, once he comes, he normally rolls over and goes to sleep.
Yes, you know, exactly. It's all over.
You don't have that. Yeah, you don't have that anymore. It's not over. There's no doubt. It's just... you're still doing it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So now, you know, you realize you're into the submissive thing because of being denied and being in the cage. You're starting to blow guys. Now, when did you start to go farther with them? Like, eventually you do get fucked in the ass by a guy. What was that first experience like?
It was good. I'm trying to remember the very first time. But no, it was great. And it was, like I said, it was the whole mental side of it is I just got used. That felt good to me.
Yeah, you're honest. Yeah, that's honest. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
hot.
Good for me.
Yeah.
And then I think the next time it was the same situation where it was for their pleasure, not mine. And that was more for me than actually getting off. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But when you're in the cage, right, and if a guy's fucking you in the ass, like, you can't come in that cage?
No, that's kind of the hope, though, is that eventually I will.
Oh, interesting. But you never have, and you've been doing this for 10 years.
Well, we've been doing so on and off for 10 years. I'd say probably the longest I've been in a cage at one time was like a month and a half.
But sometimes do you hook up with guys when you're not caged, or are you always caged during your hookups?
Always caged.
You are always caged.
Yeah.
So you've always been fucked in the ass and never were able to come during it.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now I have played with toys and been able to come anally.
Right, right, right. Like when she's pegging you
with
or whatever?
With a guy, you know, it's completely different in that you're subject to their rhythm, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the right rhythm, you're not going to come.
Yeah. And as a submissive, you're not going to tell them what the fuck to do, right? You're just like being
That's
used.
Right.
You're being used. You got to do whatever they fucking want. That's the hot scenario for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the other thing. Maybe at some point you get close and then they change and it goes away. It's kind of like, well, maybe next time.
You know? But and somehow I think your brain, because the way you're wired, like that's hot too. The fact that you just got denied and he changed it up and didn't give you what you want and take you over the edge. You could get into that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great because you're like always getting what you want, even when you're not getting what you want.
Exactly.
Smart way to be. Wait, so now eventually your wife brings home a pair of panties one day, okay, and says, hey, try this shit on. And now you're like, right now, currently, you're wearing panties every day. So let's talk
That's
about
right.
that whole thing. Because when people see your picture on Patreon, because you're over there, and I'm sure if people knew you in your real life, you're just like not the type of guy you'd ever think. And I think that's what Samantha really drove that home. I think a part of the in the title was like Samantha's alpha husband is into all this shit. You're a real alpha guy. You don't look like the type of dude that's wearing panties underneath his pants, but you are right now, and you have been since she threw them to you one day, right? Talk me through that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, I guess it was kind of a tease thing. And you know what? I didn't mind. I kind of liked it. It felt good. And so she just took it up a notch. All right, well, this is what you're wearing from now on.
But what did you like about it? Explain, like, when you say it felt good. Because I feel like, listen, what's interesting about you is here you are a guy that never thought about this shit, never tried it when you were younger. A lot of times I'm talking to a guy that's into panties, right? He was stealing his mom's panties when he was six. So it's like a fetish. Or a guy into chassis, like he was always into this stuff. This is like stuff that you picked up way later on just because it's like, why not try it? You tried it and you liked it. So I think it's like super interesting to hear what that experience was, because it wasn't like your thing at all, but you like tried them on. And what was it about it that felt good? Just like the material, the way it hugged your cock?
The material, the fit. Growing up, I was the standard little boy wearing his tighty whities. You grow up, you move to boxers and boxer briefs and things like that, and you just never put on the tighty whities again, and then you get panties and they're comfortable. I'll be honest. I don't necessarily care for a thong. That, to me, that just kind of irritates. But, you know, panties are comfortable. And the only reason to not wear them is so that someone doesn't see you in them. You
know, right, like if you're in a car crash. That's what I always think. Oh my God, you're in a car crash. The first thing they do is take your clothes off, start giving you CPR. They're like, I wonder how many people they took it off. Because I know guys wear pantyhose. I know guys wear panties. I know guys wear bras. Like, I know there's a lot of stuff going on underneath people's clothes that people, no one knows about. I need to talk to an ambulance person one day that's like, you know, what do you find when you're in the state of emergency?
Yeah, that would be like, that'd be a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, if you have a heart attack one day, your wife takes you, like, they're seeing your panties because you literally wear them every day, right? I hope I don't ruin it for you. Just keep wearing them.
I go golfing or something. I bend over and pick up a ball. I make sure my shirt's tucked in or something.
I know.
I don't want my golf friends seeing my thong, the whale tail stick out the back of my pants.
Yeah, that's so funny. But let me ask you this, because you said you just like the feel of it and it just like the way it holds you in and everything. But is there also like a turn on to it, like when you're being intimate with your wife or others, like the fact that you have panties on, does it add to the whole sissy sub role play that you're into?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, it does. And even get out of the shower and you put them on, you're standing there in the mirror, you know, brushing your teeth or something. You're like, well, here it is, you know, I'm wearing panties.
And that turns you on. So that gets you mood.
Yeah, for sure. And it kind of, it just supports the submissive side too.
Yeah, you dig that. And I did see a pic. Your wife sent me pics. And this one I couldn't put up because it was a little bit more X-rated, but I think she put it up on Discord. But it was like, you weren't just in panties. You were also in thigh highs, stockings, I would say, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you've tried other female clothing things on as well?
Yep. She's dressed me up a few times, and I like that too. That's the submissive side. It really brings it out. I like the way that feels.
Let me ask you this, and I didn't ask Samantha this. This is more for you. Like, you're obviously into the whole submissive thing. You're totally wired and into it, and this is how you guys play, and you're having all this hot time. Like, do you ever also switch out and be like the alpha male guy and have sex with her, you know, from that part of you, who you are?
Yeah, for sure. And that was like this weekend when I got out, it was about having sex with her as her man. And that was important. It's important to me to maintain that relationship with her and to literally be the protector and provider. That's my number one job, is to make sure she's safe and feels protected and provided for in any way I can. Obviously, you know, she could provide for herself, but you know, if I can do it, then that's my role as a husband. It is my job to make sure she's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important for me to do that from time to time and make sure that I'm still there. It's still just us. If all this fell apart, it's still okay.
Yeah, no. And I think that's important because, listen, I think like she talked a lot about the fact that You're this alpha guy. She loves that about you. And when she goes out looking for guys, she picks other alpha guys because that is her type. That's what she likes. That's what she likes about you. So I think that that's, I would, it's great and smart of you guys to also have that still be a part of it because that's who she married. And what I loved about her the most is that seeing you wear panties and seeing you suck cock and seeing you be denied and seeing you get fucked in the ass and being degraded and being submissive and a sissy and all that shit doesn't change her from seeing you as an alpha guy. And I think that's the reason why so many people are doing this kind of stuff behind closed doors and they're doing it secretly and their wives don't know about it, because I think a lot of wives could not believe and accept that both things can exist at the same time. One doesn't take away from the other. Just because you like to be fucked in the ass and wear panties and everything, it doesn't mean you're not still that alpha guy. It's just when you are intimate, you like to be submissive and you're expressing another part of yourself, but it's not all of who you are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like on a day-to-day basis, if we're just out and about, then yeah, I'm not sissy submissive
exactly. When
you know, we're going out to eat and stuff like that. I'm a regular guy and nobody would ever know it. And it's not that I'm ashamed of it or that I would be embarrassed. It's just, yeah, I may do this in private, but at the same time, I'm still the man. I still want to be a man. And I had no desire. I don't know that I could survive my daily routine anything other than the way we're doing it now.
You need that balance. It's not like you're not either one 24/7. And I think that's what all that stuff is about. A lot of times it is just about a release. And I'm sorry, but typically the guy who is in the dungeon or who is the sissies, a lot of times the alpha man, it's mostly that guy because that's the release.
Yeah, there would be no excitement to it if this was me 24/7.
Exactly.
It would just be the way it is. And I don't think that we wouldn't make it as a couple if I was that way all the time, because that's just not what she desires out of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, I think we've got a good arrangement where it is cool that this is kind of our secret side. It's kind of exhausting to keep a secret the whole time. Even though we're keeping it together, we still got other people in our lives that we hang out with and do things and timing and, you know, trying to be sneaky about things. It is somewhat exhausting, but at the same time, though, that's just for us. That's something that we share. It's not for the rest of the world to share.
Exactly. And most people don't share their sex life anyway, regardless, whether it's vanilla sex or something like what you guys are doing. Most people aren't telling their friends anyway. I'm sure you don't know your other friend's sex life either. It's just not.
I don't want to know.
Exactly. So it's no one's business. But what's great about your situation is like you see how exhausting it is a little bit to just keep this a secret from other people. But at least you have your wife right there with you. So many times I'm talking to somebody who is doing everything that you're doing, but their wife isn't involved with them. You just happen to be so lucky to have a woman who's so open and accepting of all of this, because not only what's so great about Samantha and your situation is not only is your wife accepting of it, she's fucking into it. Like, she's horny for it. You know what I mean? She's not just doing it for you. She really digs all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's for her too. I think a lot of it's mental too, and that I trust her with this information, and I trust her to do what we both want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to keep a secret from her. I believe it really speaks to the fact she's not superficial at all. She's very open. She's very honest with me. So it just works. She is literally the only person I would ever marry. Something never happened to us. It's screw that. I'm not doing this again. I found someone I don't argue with. We don't have fights. We're very low drama people.
Yeah.
So it just worked out. I won the lottery basically.
Yeah. You got a unicorn. Like no, for real, because
I know it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I do my show. So, you know, in the hopes that more people could be as open-minded as you and your wife, you know, because I'm not judgmental at all either. I'm role more like your girl, but so many people don't, unfortunately. And that's just the truth. Now, so I know that you have your regular guy now, and he's a gay man, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember what your first experience with him or your last experience? Tell me some stories.
So the first one was really good. The last one was not as good. I had some other issues going on that kind of messed that up. But for the most part, it's been really good with him. And mainly because he is absolutely very respectful and just a good guy all the way around. Like I said, if this were not part of our dynamic, I could see us just being regular friends.
Really? Because he's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a good guy. And he's a genuine person. So that's worked out. And physically, he's kind of what we were looking for. He is a lot bigger than I am. He's well over 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too much information about him, but he's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he's very clean, very respectful. And yeah, he likes to fuck. So he enjoys it.
Yeah. And what was interesting is your wife told me that recently, this is a gay man that's just into dudes. So your wife is in the other room. That's another big aspect of your guys' play. She really wants videos and wants to watch. But, and she, you guys do tape a lot of stuff. But recently she asked him, like, I think maybe it was Valentine's Day. She bought you like a red pair of panties or something. And she asked him, like, would you mind? And you would think a gay man would not be into that at all. But he decided to try it. And it turned out he was into it, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he was into it. He enjoyed it. I didn't realize, obviously, how much he was into it until I saw the video. He really enjoyed it. So that was kind of a cute little play on Valentine's Day, just to mess with me a little bit, make me wear something cute and Valentine's themed.
Yeah, but how interesting that he wound up liking. I just feel like your guy's story is so interesting because it does really show people that you never kind of know. Most all of these things that you're into and even like this guy is into, you didn't know that you were going to be into this. And it turns out you are. Turns out he is. A gay man into right. Like you wearing a panties. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, so that's really opened my eyes up. When I see just normal people, what I would just say normal sex lives.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no telling what they're into.
Exactly.
No clue. You can't judge anybody. And I've never been judgmental of people's sex lives. What people do on their own time is completely up to them. So, yeah, when I see a couple out to eat, I'll think it. I wonder if they fool around. I wonder if they're into stuff that, you know, there's a 50-50 chance that they probably are.
No, but what I think is also very true and what I think your story tells people is that maybe you haven't even tried certain things. But if you did, you'd be like you guys. All of the stuff that you guys are doing, would you have known you were into that 20 years ago? No, the only reason you figured it out is by trying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in our case, it was literally just baby steps, doing one little thing at a time, and then that leads to something else, and that leads to something else. Where we're at right now, I've told her, I don't know if we should keep chasing the rabbit, or if we should just kind of stand off where we're at right now and just stick with this, because I don't know if it's safe to go much further.
Yeah, where do you go? What would be farther for you guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want to go any farther than where we have.
Yeah.
Just because then you get into the realm of just things are getting a little out of hand.
Right.
And, you know, what we've got right now is comfortable. It works. It's satisfying for both of us. So I think staying put for a while is definitely the safe play for us.
Right. But what about her being with more guys? Do you want to do the hot wifing thing more? Is that something that you'd
be
into?
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, so I'm kind of on the side where that's her call.
Yeah,
100% her call. If she wants to do it, I'd love to see it, but I would never push her to do that. And it's only if she's super comfortable with the person, because there is a different dynamic at play, I think, for her, where she is a little more emotionally connected to people than I am.
Yeah,
and I don't want her to feel uncomfortable in any of those situations. But yeah, if she wanted to, 100%.
You'd be down.
Yeah, 100%. Anytime. And like I said, I know she's not going to pick some random junkie. I know she's going to be really picky, and that's what I would hope for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you've seen her pictures. She's going to pick. She can pick whoever she wants, basically.
Exactly. They'd be lucky to get her, kind of thing. She's really...
That's right.
Right. I mean, she's not like it'd be hard for her to find a guy. the guy would pick her, but it's got to be that she wants the guy. Now, have you guys ever thought about going to swingers clubs or swingers parties? Have you ever gotten to that world? I don't remember if I asked your wife.
I don't think we've gotten into it just because I don't think we've really had the time to kind of investigate and find the right place or situation. And it's, we are kind of outliers in the fact that at our age and our interests are literally wrapped up in fitness 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find people our age and our maturity that, you know, would be interested in that type of lifestyle.
Right.
Most people are just more into sitting around watching the football game and drinking than let's go work out,
But no sex parties or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
And so is there anything on your bucket list?
So I don't know that there's anything on the bucket list. I know one of the things that I did want was to be with more than one guy at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that, and I enjoyed it because it really brings up the whole, now you're really being used type situation.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there's anything on the bucket list for me as far as things that we haven't done that I would really, really want to try.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything that we've wanted to do, we've pretty much done it. And that there's never been a, well, that's just too far. We've done it. Everything we've been able to do. And like I said, I'm content with where we're at, but I'm never say never, basically. Try all kinds of things.
What's the longest you've been in a cock cage, and do you want to go longer? Is that maybe something?
A month and a half is the longest I'd gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I really want to go longer because there is a, I guess it's kind of like a point of diminishing return.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm.
Where at a certain point, it's just like, this really just, now it's just a fixture at this point.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of doubt as far as how long I should go and when I should be able to be released and things like that. And I think we're slowly finding a sweet spot in there where there is a point where it's just, this is, what's the point?
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do it longer, but at the same time, I don't think that either of us gain anything for the length of time.
That doesn't necessarily play into it that much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, I love your guys' story. Everybody loved your story. If people haven't, like I said, listened to your wife's side of things, they really need to. I aired her episode first. People wanted to hear from you, so I'm airing your episode right after her, so people will get to hear your side too. There's a lot of pics of you guys and explicit stuff over on my Discord. I've got the R-rated stuff, just some sexy pics over on my Patreon. I leave the X-rated stuff for you guys to post yourself, and your wife has posted shit on there. People told me. So people want to see that, go to Patreon, and you know, you guys could go onto Discord or sign up for my Patreon. You'll get onto my Discord and they could see it, and I'll tell, you know, you guys could go back on there. But thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story. It's great. I think it's a great, super interesting story. And I'm glad we got your side of things too.
Yeah, I'm glad I could speak to you and maybe help some people break down those barriers of taboos and things that they're concerned with.
Yes.
Be good.
Yes, for sure. I think that's a big part of your story. And I think especially talking to you, I think a big takeaway is you never know until you try. You were just like open as your girl is. You're that same guy. You weren't like, oh, so many guys are like, don't do this, don't do that, I won't try this, because of what's in their brain. It's just a thought that stops them. It's a stigma. It's what society thinks about certain things. You didn't have that, so you wound up trying, and look at all the shit that you're into now. Who knew, right? And I think you're here to say that maybe you would like tease a denial. Maybe you'd like to suck a dick. Maybe you'd think that it's hot to try panties. Maybe if you put on a cock cage, you'd feel a switch change inside of you and then get into this whole other world and be experiencing all these great things. And I think that's what you're here to say. And I think that that's a really interesting message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's awesome. So thanks so much for calling in and sharing your side of things.
Yeah, thank you for letting me.
No problem. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne.
Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous picks of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous picks and some of the guys send in anonymous picks. So if you want to see anonymous picks of my guests as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous.